Well, good morning. My name is Mary Terry and I'm the curate here at St Francis. We're continuing this morning in our series in James, and we have got to James 3, 13 to 18, and I'm reading from the Message. Do you want to be counted wise, to build a reputation for wisdom? Here's what you do. Live well, live wisely, live humbly. It's the way you live, not the way you talk, that counts. Mean-spirited ambition isn't wisdom. Boasting that you are wise isn't wisdom. Twisting the truth to make yourself sound wise isn't wisdom. It's the furthest thing from wisdom. It's animal cunning, devilish conniving. Whenever you're trying to look better than others or get the better of others, things fall apart and everyone ends up at the other's throats. Real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life and is characterised by getting along with others. It is gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings, not hot one day and cold the next, not two-faced. You can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoy its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honour. Some of you may know that I spent my 20s and 30s living in Bristol, and I was part of a family bakery business there. We had a shop that opened onto the actual bakery part, so that the customers, as they were waiting to buy their bread, could actually see the workings of the bakery. It was a lot of fun. It was a good marketing ploy, actually. The smell of the freshly baked bread was amazing. And we also had a delivery round where we supplied local shops and restaurants with our produce. It was a busy time as I was raising three children as well. And over the years, which was probably 20 plus, I reckoned I covered most areas of our business. It was physical work. I guess you might be familiar with bread baskets. You see them in supermarkets sometimes. They're quite wide and deep. And when they're filled with 12 or 15 large loaves, they're really quite heavy too. So many times I would fill the baskets with bread, load them onto a van, and then whiz through the streets of Bristol, driving to deliver them. Excuse me, maybe 30 baskets at a time. What I didn't realise then, young and fit and in a hurry as I was how all of this would impact my body and my back in particular. So with very little thought or care, I swung basket after basket filled with loaves. It was only after back pain began to invade my life and I needed to spend copious amounts of money on treatment that I thought about core muscles, a term that will be familiar with anybody here who has a bad back. But they are the muscles that help protect the spine from excessive load and that actually need to be engaged if damage is not to be caused to our bodies. Well, you know, these core muscles are marvellous. If exercised and engaged when we do this physical activity, they help us gain stamina and endurance, enabling our bodies to function well and guarding against poor posture and lower back pain and muscle injuries. My favourite exercise is standing on one leg, tilting a hip as though I'm carrying a child, fixing my eyes on a particular point on the horizon whilst turning my head from side to side. Well, you could try this at home if you like. Well, maybe not. The real fun thing about exercising core muscles is that I can tell how well I'm doing by how easily I can stand to put my socks on, balancing on one leg while pulling the sock on the other. I wonder what sort of exercises you do, if any, to look after your body. Well, the lesson I've learned from this is clear. If I engage my core muscles during physical exercise, my body will cope with the pressure that I'm putting on it and I have a good outcome. If I go about my life not engaging my core muscles, I may get away with it for a little while, but slowly and surely the toll on my body will be revealed, aches, pains, injuries, dysfunction, and, I'm sorry to say, rather a lot of moaning. I wonder if you see the link between this story and what James is saying in this section of his letter. If I'm asked, would I like to live a life free from back pain? Of course, the answer is yes. James begins by asking if we would like to have a reputation of being wise. Well, of course, the answer is yes. No one is likely to want to be considered a fool or plain daft. But the nub of what he is saying is that wisdom doesn't just happen. It needs to be worked out, just like I need to work at my core muscles. I wonder what your definition of wisdom would be. One definition I particularly like is this, is that wisdom is knowledge, but also the capacity to discern and make good use of that knowledge. Because I don't think we can have wisdom without knowledge. But it is also clear that knowledge on its own is not enough. We need to know how to exercise, engage, process, discern, and action that knowledge. James suggests that what purports to be wisdom isn't always wisdom. I don't know if you've come across the Pam Ayres poem, They Should Have Asked My Husband. It's of its time, which is probably, 20 odd years ago, and that will be evident. But here are a couple of verses. Opinions abound, but who is right and who is wrong? People need a prophet, a diffuser of the light. Someone they can turn to as the crises rage and swirl. Someone with the remedy, the wisdom and the pearl. Well, they should have asked my husband. He'd have told them then and there. His thoughts on immigration, teenage mothers, Tony Blair. The future of the monarchy, house prices in the south. The wait for hip replacements, BSE and foot and mouth. Yes, they should have asked my husband. He can sort out any mess. He can rejuvenate the railways. He can cure the NHS. So any little niggle, anything you want to know, just run it past my husband. Wind him up and let him go. Well, I just want to make it clear here that I'm not getting at husbands, and especially not my own. But Pam is conjuring up quite a vivid picture of a fount of knowledge, possibly well-informed knowledge. But it somehow ends up as a bit of a rant. And I think we're kind of all aware of the fruit of such conversations. They're rarely comfortable and they rarely build relationship. In fact, at the end of the poem, Pam indicates that friends don't come round to the house very often. And she kind of clearly puts that in the court of her husband and his wisdom that he likes to impart. So really, this kind of wisdom maybe isn't wisdom at all. It doesn't lead to the kind of healthy relationships that James is talking about. But it leads rather to criticism, maybe cynicism, and really quite destructive and dysfunctional communities. Maybe that's a challenge for us within the church. How do we acknowledge the kind of chaos that's going on around us, whilst celebrating and contributing to all that is good? James says at the end that we are called, you can develop a healthy and robust community that lives right with God only if we do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honour. I wonder how we do acknowledge the chaos around us but contribute to all that is good and celebrate it. Because we do belong to Jesus Christ. That is the good news that we have as believers in him. We have his spirit living within us. And if this isn't a heresy, it's kind of, that's our core muscle. We have access to the wisdom of God that is revealed through Jesus, that is gentle reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings, as the message puts it. As we learn to live whilst engaging this spirit of wisdom, then our very lives will be affected, not just ours, but those people around us, and for the good. I wonder what situations you face this week that you need wisdom for. Because this is real life stuff, isn't it? The reality is, we are all facing situations that can feel like heavy physical loads that need to be lifted. Relationships, work decisions, raising children, how to make ends meet in challenging financial circumstances. This is the stuff of real life. As I was preparing this, I reflected back over my life and thought about some of the things that I have done, the decisions I have made. And the reality is sometimes I have engaged my core muscles and both socks went on fine. I could look back and think, yeah, you did quite a good job there, Mary. Well done. I have to say that there are also times when I have crashed to the floor, maybe acted with a red mist in front of my eyes and done some very unwise things. Sometimes I think it's only with hindsight that we've seen the outcome that we are able to make that judgment. The truth is that there are times where we just need to pray. James says at the beginning of his letter that wisdom is a gift from God and he will give it. How we receive it, of course, is something that we need to work out step by step. But the good news is that for the times that we have acted in unwise ways and impacted those around us negatively, there is forgiveness. For the times when we have been the one impacted by other people's unwise decisions and actions and attitudes, there is healing for us. There isn't any magic instant answers, just as there isn't to my exercising and coping with back pain. It's something that we need to look at day by day. But wonderfully, Jesus is always beside us, gently urging us on, picking us up when we fall, and whispering, come on, engage those core muscles that is the Holy Spirit, my Spirit, living within you. I wonder how we might listen to that whisper this coming week. So, Lord Jesus, help us as we go forward. We need you. We need your wisdom. May we hear your voice. May we be a blessing to others today and this coming week. In your precious name we ask this. Amen.